Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your host. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. Okay, so on today's show, we're going to talk about insurance companies and ask the question if insurance really cares about your health or not. But before we get into that, we have a public service announcement brought to you by Dr. Tracy Gross.
Public service announcement for today is your update on what you should do to prevent contraction of the coronavirus.
According to who?
According to the all-powerful CDC. So you ready? Here we go. Number one, protect yourself and others. Get a vaccine. Wear your mask. Physical social distance. These are the three things that you can do that will make sure that you do not contract the coronavirus.
All right. Well, sounds logical. Very scientific.
But isn't that what we've been doing for the past 2 years?
Not the vaccine though, right?
That's true.
Everything but that, right? So, you know, as everyone gets vaccinated, we should just see a big change here, right?
Right.
Or is there going to be Delta, Lambda, however many other, you know, Greek names, Greek numbers for new variants that are formed? You know, that's for you to decide ultimately. But here we are with public service announcement to kind of do the same thing we've been doing.
So very clearly, just looking at the world right now, we can see that this is what we've been told to do in order to be healthy, in order to prevent virus. And it's not working.
Yeah. And, you know, the reality is here we are just talking about the same old things over and over and over again. Where is the news about go and check your vitamin D levels, as an example? Studies show that vitamin D levels are a sign, or it's a significant factor in coronavirus, right? How about glutathione levels? Your glutathione levels are significant when it comes to your ability to fight off the any virus of any kind. And it's been shown with coronavirus that glutathione is helpful. And some people are running out and taking a bunch of glutathione. You know, the supplement companies have really capitalized on this. You need glutathione precursors, people. So just as a FYI, glutathione, if you just take glutathione in a supplement form, it's going to get burned up in your stomach. You would need glutathione precursors. But people are asking, why is this not the mainstream? You know, why is this information not the norm in healthcare?
Yeah. Why are we still over here waiting to hear about natural health remedies, ways that we can build our immune system and build our bodies to be able to naturally fight off whatever is going on in the world right now? And one of the big reasons for that is because there is not a lot of profit in that. And by profit, I'm talking about who's getting the financial benefit from keeping us in the dark? Who's getting the financial benefit from telling us to get the jab, by telling us to social distance and put on masks? So that's where we are exploring today.
Yeah. And as far as the shots themselves, the CDC says this, that the vaccine doses that are purchased with U.S. taxpayer dollars, they're going to be given to the American people at no cost. However, those who are administering the vaccine, they can charge an administration fee for giving someone the shot. And then the vaccination providers, these are the doctors and the nurses, hospitals, they can be reimbursed for this by the patient's public or private insurance company.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the doctors, the nurses, the medical organizations are getting reimbursed. They're getting money from our insurance companies.
That's right. It's the insurance companies who are paying the doctors themselves. And then there's, you know, obviously subsidies to the vaccine manufacturer that are being paid by taxpayer dollars. So this is how Pfizer's having record profits. You know, Moderna obviously is too, and J&J. I actually don't know their finances, but I know that Pfizer is profiting in the billions off of the COVID-19 vaccination. And this is why they, you know, as a whatever you think about the pharmaceutical companies themselves, this is why they want it to be mandatory, because they're going to capture those people who are hesitant right now. And when you have billions of dollars at your disposal, you can also influence the marketing and the governments and, you know, lobbying and everything else. And, you know, rightfully so on their end. They have their obligation to their shareholders. So they're going to do everything they can to capture as much of the audience as possible, as much as of the market as possible. So now you kind of see why we have some of the recommendations that are being made. But I think it's interesting that the insurance companies are then responsible for reimbursing the doctors. Does insurance really care about your health? And the reason why we got into this conversation is because, number one, I received a notification from Blue Cross Blue Shield in my physical office that they are contracting a third party, and they will be helping to, how did they say it? Help with the financial cost to Blue Cross Blue Shield. So they're going to help with saving the money, basically, is what it comes down to. Well, we quickly found out that that meant they were going to reimburse payment to the doctors, and they were going to cause a boatload of work on the teams and the staff, you know, at my office. So what they started doing is you had to get pre-authorization for visits, like every three visits. And this is not just a simple, you know, written letter. This is an hour long on the phone with an insurance company that my back office person was having to do per every three visits per patient. And to get a reimbursement that was a fraction of our actual fees. And quickly we realized, oh, the third party being contracted out by Blue Cross Blue Shield. Oh, I see exactly what they're doing to try to help save costs for Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're lowering reimbursement to the doctors, and they're hoping the doctors get out of network. So the question is, does insurance really care about your health? Number one. And secondarily, who is responsible for your health?
Right. I think just with everything that's going on in the clinic right now and that experience, it's definitely become top of mind for us, but it's something that everyone should consider when they're making their own health decisions. Are you going to go along with what is considered to be the health authorities, or are you going to dig a little bit deeper and ask these harder questions?
That's right. So if you and I were running a health insurance company, which sounds kind of cool, actually, you know, like for lots of reasons, because people trust whatever's on their insurance card to make their healthcare decisions so often. So it would create it would eliminate a barrier of entry, if you will. If we were running, you and I, a health insurance company, and you and I actually care about people's health, and we are good, moral, ethical people, what would we pay for? Well, we would pay for them to have nutrient and toxicity testing on an annual basis, right? Because that gives us so much information, and we can see exactly what that person needs and doesn't need, and whether they're toxic or deficient, or whether certain pathways are broken down that would create vitamins and minerals. And so that would be one thing we would pay for. We'd pay for them to have, I don't know, let's just say good quality food, and make sure that, you know, the extra expenses that they are paying for organic, or for, you know, their meat that is grass fed 100% or free range chicken, we would subsidize that cost. They could show proof of payment, and we would subsidize that cost. Instead of them taking opioids, we would first say go see a chiropractor. Right. We would say preventative maintenance is a good idea rather than catastrophic surgery. Right.
And we would also cover the entirety of their chiropractic care, everything that they needed in order to actually correct the problem.
Yeah. There's a 60% reduction in medical expenses when somebody's under chiropractic care. They have been under chiropractic care for 5 years or more. There's a 90% reduction in hospital admissions. So of course there'd be incentives for that, and we'd reimburse for that. We'd pay for whole house filtration systems, I think. It'd help clean the water. They'd have good quality drinking water. They'd have mineral rich water. We pay for them to have gym memberships, and there'd be incentives for them when they'd show up to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there'd actually be rewards for weight loss over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you can prove that you're part of a program, you're losing weight and you're getting healthier, there's rewards for this. It doesn't say that, and that's not really what insurances cover, health mm-hmm. insurances. In fact, when you look at the Medicare health, you know, what they cover and what they don't cover and what they mm-hmm. tell you they're going to cover, it doesn't say that.
Right, right. I actually pulled up the Medicare guidelines because I wanted to quote it verbatim. So Medicare guidelines, Article 225.1.3. If you're curious, it says, quote, under the Medicare program, chiropractic maintenance therapy is not considered to be medically reasonable or necessary and is therefore not payable. Maintenance therapy is defined as a treatment plan that seeks to prevent disease, promote health, and prolong and enhance the quality of life, or therapy that is performed to maintain or prevent deterioration of a chronic condition.
So we don't cover services that seek to prevent disease, promote health, or enhance one's quality of life.
You got it.
And that's straight from Medicare. Those of you who want broader coverage of Medicare, Medicaid, that's what you're looking at. But it's not just Medicare. The health insurance companies generally follow Medicare's guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So Blue Cross Blue Shield follows their guidelines. United Healthcare follows their guidelines. Aetna follows their guidelines. And so think about this. We do not cover services that seek to prevent disease, promote health, or enhance one's quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do they pay for, right?
Right.
Because most people think that health insurance companies are going to cover services like that. And thank God for, you know, health insurance in a crisis situation, you know, because it can cover that catastrophic event. Mm-hmm. But most people don't realize that even on their health, on their car insurance, they have MedPay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most catastrophic events that you're thinking of are, you know, most people say it's that car accident. Well, on the car insurance, there's MedPay, and MedPay is there to help cover those benefits. So if you're looking at your coverage and just analyzing them, well, just see if you have MedPay. That's one way that you can mitigate risk, because that's this conversation of insurance is mitigating risk. But going back to this idea, does health insurance really care about my health? Okay, because many people base their healthcare decisions entirely based off of whatever is on their card, their health insurance card.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some people will actually look up the providers that are in their network and base their decisions on who they're going to go to based off of whoever's in that network or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they're basing their healthcare decisions. Think about the logic in that. If that person is in your network and that's what you're deciding of where you're going to go or not, well, that person agreed to certain terms and certain fee schedules. And remember, health insurance companies, their job, they even define it, they don't cover services that seek to prevent disease, promote health, or enhance one's quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who are seeking out maybe an alternative method or alternative approach to health and healthcare, that's exactly what they're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Something that will help me prevent disease, promote health, or enhance my quality of life. So I don't necessarily need that the other side, the
mm-hmm.
catastrophic, you know, most people don't want to be on drugs.
Right.
Most people don't want to have that surgery if they don't absolutely need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just think of the decisions, the layers of decisions that go into these things from a patient perspective and then from a provider perspective, but definitely from an insurance company perspective of what they're going to cover or not cover.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There is logic in from a business or financial perspective of why they make those decisions.
Yeah.
And I look at this more as a casino more than anything else. You and I were talking about this, about, there is calculated risk. There's decisions that go into what they cover or not cover based off of finances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do I mean by that? There's deductibles and premiums. And I don't want to get too far into this because I know I lose people here. But I've had patients over the years who will switch their benefits just to get like chiropractic care as an example.
Yeah.
Okay. only to find out that they have to meet their deductible first before it kicks in, mm-hmm. or their insurance company says it covers chiropractic care, and then when you look into the coverage of chiropractic care, it excludes things. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it exclude adjustments, x-rays, examinations, mm-hmm. physical therapy. And sometimes in one plan, it says we cover chiropractic, but excludes adjustments, x-rays, exams, and physical therapy.
Yeah. So what are they really covering?
Well, they covered their tails and got that person to switch their insurance just to get chiropractic mm-hmm. care. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, it was a business decision, clearly.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me feels very underhanded, and I would not feel comfortable putting my money, putting my health in the hands of something that was going to be so smoke and mirrors, mm-hmm. I guess. So, I mean, that's just a personal decision that I've made, and I believe that everyone needs to make whatever decision they feel is right for them and their family. But for me, that's immediately a red flag. So when people come into our clinic and they ask, like, oh, well, why are you not in network with my insurance? Or I'm not going to start care here. I'm not going to get care because I need to go somewhere where my insurance will pay for it. Well, mm-hmm. if your insurance is excluding things that are actually necessary to be healthy, is that the road that you want to go down?
Right. Right. You know, that conversation right there, and I feel for that person because they're paying money for their card, you know, that card in their pocket, and they pay. So they're saying that out of this, like, but I'm paying for this, so I want to be able to use it, mm-hmm. you know,
which is totally fair.
Well, and we give them ways to use it. Like in our mm-hmm. clinic, the route that we've taken actually is more beneficial for that person who is, you know, maybe doing it themselves or out of mm-hmm. network, because we give them what's called a super bill, and then they turn it into their insurance company, and then the insurance company pays them directly. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? They end up paying the patient directly more often at a higher rate than they mm-hmm. do the doctor.
Oh yeah, the patient is way more likely to get money from the insurance company than the doctor is.
They can stiff the middleman. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to stiff the customer, the direct customer, mm-hmm. who can change on a dime, mm-hmm. right? So then they end up paying the customer because the customer ends up making a lot more noise because they actually do care about that extra $20. Mm-hmm. Whereas the middleman, the provider, the doctor usually has a back office person or insurance person who's mm-hmm. doing all the billing and coding and everything else. And they are less likely to make a fuss about $20.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess I can only speak for us in our clinic, but when it comes to insurance reimbursements, like, we're not doing this to get insurance reimbursements. So $20 isn't top of mind by any means. Mm-hmm. Like, we are here to serve and to help people get their health back.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Of course we're not going to be focusing on insurance.
Well, because 95% of our patients either don't have it or don't use it, just because we've worked really hard to make our rates affordable anyway for mm-hmm. whole families. That's why when you come into our clinic, you see whole families getting care. I mean, mm-hmm. we've worked so hard on that because they're usual and customary rates. That term usual and customary rates might be foreign to some people, but insurance companies have their set rates that you then agree to. And many of their rates are much higher than what we would traditionally charge, mm-hmm. right? And if we agree to certain rates, and there's a handful of companies that when we looked into it, we were like, if we agree to those rates, we are going to have to increase the cost of care across the board mm-hmm. for everyone, because it doesn't make sense. And to agree to those rates would actually increase the cost of care. And that's the game that is, some would call it a scam of insurance, is that their rates, you agree to those rates, and many providers will just write off the cost, you know, the ancillary costs, but it ends up creating artificial cost in healthcare, mm-hmm. stuff that really should not actually cost as much as it really does. Take MRI as an example. So personal story, mm-hmm. right? Side note. Tore up 4 ligaments in my ankle, right? Running that race that I ran. It was awesome. 31 miles through the mountains of Idaho, 7,000 feet of vertical elevation gain. Did it with a sprained ankle in one ligament, turned into almost complete tear in 2 other ligaments and a partial tear in another one, right? Mm-hmm. So 4 t- torn ligaments, thankfully, that were still, you know, attached. So no surgery needed. I go into the place to get an MRI. Okay. And for me and my family, we've chosen a MediShare option. It's a Christian MediShare option as an alternative to traditional health insurance. They don't pay for things that I wouldn't, I wouldn't support anyway. And it's lower premiums, et cetera. And it was really in that Obama era where, you know, they kind of forced employers to do that. And so we just kept it out of convenience. But when I walk in, I always ask for cash rates. I want to know what it costs for cash. And I know the cash rates are much different. Okay. The cost for an MRI for an insurance person, someone who comes in there with that card, cost of an MRI is over $2,000 for that, you know, for that company. Mm-hmm. My cost was $875 cash.
Wow.
Okay. Now I'm going to turn that in. I have a high deductible plan, so it won't really matter, but I would turn that in and that would go towards my deductible. Mm-hmm. And if I was over my deductible, then they would cover that. Well, that's cash rates, mm-hmm. right? And cash rates are different than insurance rates. And that's across the board in healthcare mm-hmm. because having insurance, they charge the insurance companies much more than they would charge you and I directly. Mm-hmm. Some might call that a scam. Some might call that just good business practices. But the reality is, why do we have this third party who's dictating care for people who just self-admits that they don't cover services that seek to prevent disease, promote health, or enhance one's quality of life? Mm-hmm. We have that in the case of catastrophe. We have that in the case of someone who's very sick, someone who's maybe needing some medical bills covered that they otherwise couldn't afford themselves. One of the reasons why they can't afford those medical bills is because they're seeing the rates that are the insurance rates. Mm-hmm. And you really look into it. And I see why some people call this a scam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets back to the casino analogy that you were using earlier. Like you said, the house always wins. The system is set up so that they are making money. There is a reason why insurance is a business.
That's right.
But do we want to turn over our health and our health decisions to a business that self-admits that they don't have our best interest at heart? I think that, like you said, for the people who are in more of a crisis situation, they have catastrophic needs, they're really sick, they have a lot of medical bills, insurance may make sense for people who are older and in that sort of situation. But I think for the vast majority of us, we have the opportunity to make a decision if we want to play in that game or if we want to step out of it and take control of our own health and make our own health decisions.
That's right.
So that's really the crux of what we're talking about today. That's the heart of the matter, is you get to choose where you put your faith, I guess. Mm-hmm. You get to choose how you do your own health. And the whole reason we're talking about this is because the more information you have, the better decision you can make.
That's right. And it really comes down to who is ultimately responsible for mm-hmm. your health. Is it an insurance company? Is it a government? You know, people are saying things like, hey, what am I going to do if they force us to get this vaccine?
Yeah.
Okay. No one is forcing healthcare on you. It is your body. It is mm-hmm. ultimately going to be your choice of whether you do or do not. And I mm-hmm. hope that it is always your choice, because I think that whether you do or don't, that is totally up to you. I think you can educate yourself either way and come to your own decision based off of mostly your worldview and make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it comes to your health, no one can force healthcare on you. Mm-hmm. No one. And more and more people are asking that question. What am I going to do? Well, part of what you're going to have to do is make a decision. And it's going to be ultimately whether you choose safety and security and comfort and convenience, or maybe choose a different path. And what we're talking about is you're probably going to have to choose the hard road mm-hmm. if you're not going to go with the flow mm-hmm. of the mainstream, whether that is your health insurance or whether that is choosing what everyone else seemingly whatever the majority is doing with their healthcare, because out of ease and comfort and convenience and safety and ultimately security, or choose the harder road that is going to be the road less traveled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But when we're making this decision, I think it's so, so important to establish what you actually want. Like, what are your goals in life? Do you want something that is going to be out of safety and convenience, but is going to provide temporary results? Or are you playing the long game? Do you want vitality and longevity? And do you want to be as healthy as you possibly can be for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. If you want the latter, then you got to choose the hard road.
That's right. And the hard road is probably going to look a little different than looking up the providers on your insurance card and choosing that one.
Right. The good news though, and
how do you do that by the way? Any, meeny, miny, mo? I mean, if there's multiple, how do you decide whoever's closest?
I don't know. What I hear is, yeah, proximity is usually what it is. You're the closest one to me. But yeah, I mean, we say hard road and that might sound daunting. I know a lot of people, will choose whatever's easiest because life is already hard. But it's usually just hard in the beginning. Like the hardest part is getting started. The hardest part is making a conscious decision to analyze your worldview and what you're thinking about your health and what you believe. I think that's the hardest part. And then taking those initial steps, once you build that momentum for yourself and you're creating the lifestyle that you want to achieve your long-term goals, then you just live that way. It doesn't have to be hard forever.